Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. We're all prone to wander like sheep. Remember his goodness that binds our hearts to him. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for coming today. As has been announced, we do not have Kids Zone Connect today. We do have Little Lambs, but not Kids Zone Connect. But if you have a kid who would be in Kids Zone, we have some busy bags out in the foyer. Feel free to pop up, grab one of those. They're hanging on the hooks. Bring them back for your kids. And maybe some of the adults would like one too. We'll see how things go up where I am. Let's open our Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. We'll be looking at just this one verse this morning, but it's so much in it because God's Word is rich and filled with treasures and wisdom. If you're using the Church Bible, you'll want to turn to page 529 in the Church Bible. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. Let's open in prayer as we prepare our hearts for God's Word. Lord, we pray that you would rivet our minds on what you are speaking to us, and our hearts on the treasures therein, that we may lay aside the cares and concerns and trials and tribulations that afflict us in this fallen and broken world, and attune our hearts to your grace and rejoice in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. What do I need more than anything else to make me deeply happy? Dr. Larry Crabb, one of America's most well-known Christian psychologists, asked us to ask that question. What do I need more than anything else to make me deeply happy? Now, Dr. Crabb suggests that most of us would answer the question this way: a husband who would stop drinking, a medical report that the tissue's benign, a better job, more money, and a strange son to come home, a rebellious daughter to straighten out. Now, while we would indeed be happy to see any of these things happen, Dr. Crabb notes that these are the wrong answers to the question, what do I need more than anything else to make me deeply happy? Dr. Crabb says there's really only one correct answer to that question: forgiveness from God that brings me into relationship with him, and ongoing forgiveness that makes continued fellowship possible. More than anything else, God's forgiveness makes us truly glad, because God's forgiveness brings us into relationship and continuing fellowship with him. We just finished a series in which we explored experiencing, enjoying, and extending God's forgiveness. So, what's next? What comes after experiencing, enjoying, and extending God's forgiveness? Gladness. Forgiveness is a journey from guilt to gladness, from shame to rejoicing, from sin to happiness. Forgiveness washes away the guilt so that we are free to be glad in God. And the grace of experiencing God's forgiveness continues in the gladness of enjoying God himself. So, let's invest a few Sundays exploring what it means to have a heart that is truly glad in the Lord. A heart made glad by the grace of forgiveness. You know, we don't often turn to the prophet Zephaniah. There's a lot of judgment in there. We don't like that. But there are a few nuggets of grace in the midst of the judgment. And here's one of them. Heart made glad by the grace of forgiveness. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. The Lord has taken away your punishment. Well, that's forgiveness, isn't it? And what comes as a result of forgiveness? What comes when sin and guilt and shame are taken away so that they are gone? Gladness of heart. God's forgiveness makes the heart glad. And a heart made glad by forgiveness is a heart that rejoices. And so today, let's spend a few moments exploring the heart made glad to rejoice in God. Forgiveness is indeed a journey from guilt to gladness. And a heart made glad by that forgiveness expresses that forgiveness by a gladness in God, a rejoicing in God. The prophet Isaiah wrote of this rejoicing in God in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. And so Isaiah compares the rejoicing of a heart made glad by God's forgiveness with the rejoicing of a bride and a groom. Well, how so? How are the two alike? Well, in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10, the rejoicing of a bride and a groom portrays the rejoicing of a heart made glad by God's forgiveness. Let's explore how. Let's explore how we can compare the two. Well, first of all, just as a bride and a groom rejoice greatly, so the heart made glad by God's forgiveness rejoices greatly. Isaiah 61:10 speaks of a groom adorning his head like a priest. In the Old Testament, the priest wore a turban, and it was a well-adorned turban, adorning his head like a priest. And Isaiah 61:10 speaks of a bride adorning herself with jewels, the earrings, the necklace, and the ring, of course. And so great gladness of heart marks the wedding day, and a bride's and a groom's adornments express the gladness of that rejoicing. They are bedecked because they rejoice greatly. Now, as a bride and a groom adorn themselves with jewels and garments of joy, so God has bedecked us, his people, with clothes of joy. The passage says he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. These are the joyous clothes, the glad clothing of God's forgiveness in Christ. Last month, we discovered that through the cross, we experience God's forgiveness as rescue from darkness. That rescue is salvation. The word salvation means deliverance or rescue. And by rescuing us, by forgiving us, God has clothed us with garments of his rescue, of his deliverance, of his salvation. Also, through the cross, God forgives us by debiting our unrighteousness to Christ's account and by crediting Christ's righteousness to our account. And so by forgiving us, God has arrayed us in the robe of righteousness, as Isaiah says, in the robe of the righteousness of Christ. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then by faith you are right now and forever arrayed in a robe of the righteousness of Christ. Now that's something to rejoice in. And so by forgiving us through Christ's sacrifice on the cross, God has bedecked us with salvation. He has clothed us with righteousness. And these are the garments of gladness and the robes of rejoicing. Verse 10 tells us that being clothed with salvation and righteousness is cause to rejoice greatly. The prophet writes, I delight greatly in the Lord. Isaiah wrote in Hebrew, and the Hebrew clause translated, I delight greatly in the Lord, literally means rejoicing, I will rejoice in the Lord. The Hebrew language emphasizes a point by repeating a word. That's how they did it in that language. If you wanted to emphasize something, you had to repeat it. I'll say that again. If you wanted to emphasize something, you had to repeat it. And so the Hebrew says literally, rejoicing, I will rejoice in the Lord. The rejoicing is emphasized by the repetition. The rejoicing is great. Matthew Henry writes of the greatness of our rejoicing this way. Those that rejoice in God have cause to rejoice greatly. And we need not fear running into an extreme in the greatness of our joy when we make God the gladness of our joy. Matthew Henry is saying, you can't be too happy in the Lord. You can't rejoice too much in the Lord. You cannot be over glad in Christ. And isn't that so? Because of all he's done for us. And so, are we not only rejoicing, but rejoicing greatly? Can we say, rejoicing, I will rejoice? See the grandeur of our garments. See the garment of salvation. See the robe of the righteousness of Christ with which we are bedecked. And rejoice greatly. And there's no such thing as overdoing rejoicing when it's in the Lord. Rejoicing, I will rejoice in the Lord. My soul exults in my God. Why so? For he has clothed me with garments of salvation, of rescue, of deliverance, and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, the clothing of his forgiveness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. And so just as a bride and groom rejoice greatly, so the heart made glad by God's forgiveness rejoices greatly. The church is the bride of Christ. We are together the bride of Christ. And happy is the bride of Christ who rejoices greatly because she is bedecked grandly. Now there's another way in which the rejoicing of a bride and groom, it's like the rejoicing of a heart made glad by God's forgiveness. And it's this, just as a bride and groom rejoice in each other, so a heart made glad by God's forgiveness rejoices in God. The groom delights in his bride's jewels because she is bejeweled for him. And the bride delights in her groom's garments because he is adorned for her. The bride and the groom rejoice in each other. Likewise, the bride of Christ rejoices in God. The heart made glad by God's forgiveness rejoices in him. As Isaiah 61:10 says, rejoicing, I will rejoice in the Lord. My soul exults in my God. Now, why does the heart made glad by God's forgiveness rejoice in Him? Because the glory of the forgiveness is not in the forgiver, no, in the forgiven, but in the forgiver. The glory of God's forgiveness is not in the forgiven, but in the forgiver. And so we rejoice in the forgiver, in God. The summit of God's glory is the glory of His mercy. God's mercy of forgiveness is the GPS navigating us to His glory. So as a bride and groom enjoy the wedding because they enjoy each other, so God invites us to enjoy salvation, to enjoy His righteousness, that we might enjoy Him in the glory of His mercy. So let's remember that the garments of salvation and the robes of righteousness, the festoon of forgiveness, are not all about us, not about us at all. It's all about God. We tend to be so inwardly focused. Let's focus on the fount of blessing. It's all about God. The glory of the forgiveness is not in the forgiven, but in the forgiver. So bride and groom, rejoice in each other. Let's rejoice in the Lord and direct our gladness toward Him. And then finally, just as a bride and groom rejoice in a changed life, so the heart made glad by God's forgiveness rejoices in a changed life. A bride and groom are clothed in festive array because the wedding changes their lives. It really does. Weddings are life changing. Two become one. A name is changed. A new family is begun. A new intimacy is initiated. And so the bride and the groom rejoice greatly because of all the wonderful changes that come into their lives as bride and groom. Likewise, God's forgiveness changes our lives in that He clothes us with the garments of salvation. Gone is the dungeon of darkness. Come is the garment of salvation. He arrays us in a robe of righteousness. Gone is the sin and the guilt and the shame. Now we're clothed with the righteousness of Christ. What marvelous changes. What changes in which to rejoice. In the Bible, to be clothed with something is a figure of speech for a change in status or a change in condition. In the Bible, when you're clothed with something, there's a change that's happening in your life. Here's the change. We were smothered in a drape of darkness, but now we are clothed in the garments of salvation. What a change! We were wretched in the rags of unrighteousness. Now we are arrayed in the robes of the righteousness of Christ. What a transformation! God's forgiveness changes our lives, and the heart made glad rejoices. Christ changes our lives by doing what Isaiah 61 verse 3 prophesies that the Anointed One would do. He bestows on us a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of despair. What a change in which to rejoice. In Israel in Bible times, the week leading up to a wedding was a week of joyous celebration. The whole week. In our day and time, the week leading up to a wedding is a week of frantic preparation. But then and there, it was a week of joyous celebration. with the men celebrating in one area, the women celebrating in another. And on the wedding day, on that wonderful day that they had been anticipating for so long, the bride was led into her groom's home, dressed in the gown that he had provided for her. And then there was another round of feasting before the bride and the groom went into the wedding chamber. We, the bride of Christ, are right now in that week of joyous celebration. Christ has already provided us with our wedding gown, the garment of salvation, the robe of righteousness. We are already now wearing our wedding gown of salvation and righteousness in Christ that He has provided for us. We are now in that week of celebration, joyous celebration. He's clothed us with the garments of salvation. He's arrayed us in the robe of His righteousness. And our wedding gown fits perfectly, designed by the Master Tailor. Such a grand garment, such a resplendent robe, such a praiseworthy panoply, elicit our rejoicing during this week of celebration as we anticipate that day when the glorious groom will come to lead us to His home and to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And what rejoicing that day will bring. And so just as a bride and a groom rejoice in a changed life, so the bride of Christ, with hearts made glad by God's forgiveness, rejoices in a life changed by the wedding gown that the bridegroom has provided for us, the garments of His salvation, the robe of His righteousness. And so the heart made glad by God's forgiveness rejoices greatly and rejoices in the Lord and rejoices in a changed life. So how do we apply this to our lives? Let's rejoice. Let's party. Let's rejoice greatly in God for the changes that His forgiveness creates in our lives. Christians, let us be a happy people. Let us be a happy people. What do I need? More than anything else, to make me deeply happy. Yes, you'd be happy if your husband stops drinking or your medical report is good or you obtain a better job or you get more money or your estranged son comes home or your rebellious daughter straightens out. Yeah, these would make us happy. But even if these things do not happen, you can still rejoice greatly in God for the changes His forgiveness creates in your life. For He has clothed us with the garment of His salvation. He's arrayed us in the robe of His righteousness. And you and I can say today with the prophet of old, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of His salvation. He's arrayed me in the robe of His righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Let us pray. Lord, thank You so much for all the ways in which You pour out upon us a gladness and your forgiveness. Thank you, thank you, thank you. May we attune our hearts to your grace. May your goodness, and forgiveness, your goodness in clothing us with garments of salvation and a robe of righteousness, bind our wandering hearts to you like a fetter. That rejoicing, we will rejoice in you for all the ways you change our lives. Come soon, Lord Jesus. For even now, we can by faith taste the wedding supper of the Lamb.